So let's start here, 2 John chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, "Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love." And again, I want to just exhort us that these introductory statements are the heart desire of the author for the readers. And that heart desire is being expressed towards God. We know that because he says, "from God the Father and from Jesus Christ." So if you don't know anything else to pray for somebody, if you like, you don't know the details, you don't know God's will, you can pray grace, mercy, and peace. Okay, those three things, or at least grace and peace, is what anybody needs anytime they're in need of prayer. They need the grace, like our sister brought up, for endurance. They need the peace to be calm, to be sober-minded in the midst of the trial that has so shook them. And so John writes to the chosen lady and to her children that grace, mercy, and peace would be extended to them. And those three graces would come through those two things, truth and love. And of course, we know from John himself, John 17, "Thy word is truth." Okay, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So he's talking about the word working in them and then the expression of that word being worked out in love one toward another. And that really is, if you want to just narrow everything down to very simplistic, that's how we ought to walk, right? We ought to walk in truth. We ought to walk in love. Those two things together. So in 2 John, there's only one instance of that I could see of prayer there. Going down to 3 John, you may have to turn a page there in your Bible, but again, in 3 John, if you say verse 2, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." I'm not sure, just because it uses the word pray in our translation, I'm not sure that really was like a prayer request more than just a desire. You know, it'd be like you going up to somebody and say, "Well, I hope you have good health." Okay, not that you prayed about that or something, but in 3 John verse 14 and 15, he says, "I hope to see you shortly and will speak face to face. Peace be unto you." Peace be unto you. So there was that expression. Why in 3 John would they need the peace being extended to them? What's going on in 3 John? Yeah, they're having a church difficulty with the leadership there in that church. And you'll notice verse 9, he says, "I wrote something to" where? The church. "But Diotrephes, who loves to be the first among them, does not accept what we say." So here's a leader in the church. We say elder or a pastor. And they will not accept apostolic instruction. Would you consider that serious? Yeah, that is serious. And I've had people ask me, say, "Is there any place in the Bible where a congregation, as it were, voted out a pastor?" This is the passage. And the reason I say that is because look at what he says in verse 9. He says, "Does not accept what we say." He says, "When I come," verse 10, "I'm going to call attention to his deeds." Now look at the instruction to the congregation, verse 11. "Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. The one who does good is of God, and the one who does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone, and from the truth itself, and we add our testimony. So what's John telling them? Who's he telling them to follow? Which man?
Demetrius.
Okay, so there you have the congregation being instructed by an apostle to don't follow this man, follow this man. And the Word of God gives testimony to that man. That would be the man you want to follow, right? So I know he didn't say, now get together, have a business meeting, vote him out. Okay, but he's definitely telling the congregation, don't follow this man, but follow this man here. And so that would be the closest thing there. So in 3 John, we have definitely one explicit instant of prayer, peace be unto you. And you can understand that if you're in a church and you're having difficulty with leadership and trying to determine which man to follow and you got controversy, what does that church need? They need God's what? They need God's peace with that. So let's go back to 1 John. So we'll go all the way back here. So we have one instance in 2 John, one instance in 3 John, and in 1 John, as far as I can determine here, there are four instances of prayer or exhortation for prayer in these five chapters. And so the first one is, you know what the first one is, don't you? 1 John 1:9. And so it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I'm going to tell you why I included that. That Greek term translated in our English Bible, confess, is always used of public confession. But I don't think, even though it is just and right for anyone in a church to stand up and publicly confess, right, their sins. Okay? I don't know if you've ever had to do that. I've had to do that. I've had to stand up in front of the congregation, say I made a mistake, or I shouldn't have said it this way, or I said something wrong, or I had a bad spirit about what I said. And that's public confession, right? That's confessing our sins one to another. But I think this confession of sin is to God. And why do I think that? Well, he says, if we confess our sins, the church is faithful and righteous to forgive us. Is that what it says? No, it says he is faithful and righteous to forgive us. So I think that this 1 John 1:9 is an expression of prayer. And brethren, I want to encourage you to confess your sin to God. Now, God does not desire for us to sin. God takes no pleasure in his children sinning. But God does take pleasure in us coming to him with humility of heart and confessing our sin to him. Now here's what I love about 1 John 1:9. When we agree with God about what that sin is, and we confess it to him, he doesn't upbraid us. Right? He is just. Is he going to deal with that sin rightly? Yes. And where did he handle that justice? At the cross of Christ. Jesus Christ bore our justice. He is just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. He is just and faithful or righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now here's the other thing I love about this passage. There's no way I could confess all my sins. I mean, if you sit down and you start thinking about your day, I mean, really sit down and start thinking about that. Just start with sins of your mouth. Okay, just start there. Go through every conversation of the day. Ask yourself, did I say the right thing? Should I have said something else? Was this scriptural? Should I even have said anything? Right? Okay, how long would you be confessing? Okay, what about if you went to sins of your mind or of your spirit? And folks, usually it's not like you went out and did something, you know, like looked at something you shouldn't look at. It's that our minds are not thinking His thoughts. Okay? So I could ask this question. How was your meditation today? Were you in your mind walking in the light as He is in the light? Well, I have to confess to you, I didn't do that 24/7. I want to do that 24/7. Okay. Just take those two areas. How long would you be confessing? Well, you could be confessing quite a while, right? I've often said that if I lived in the Old Testament days where I had to give a sacrifice for every one of my sins, I think I would have just pitched my tent next to the altar and just lived there. Right? But God is faithful that if you come with humility of heart and you confess that sin to Him in true repentance, meaning now you're thinking God's thoughts about that sin, you're in agreement about that, you want Him to deliver you from that sin, He is just and faithful not only to forgive the sins that you confess, but how much? All unrighteousness. Hallelujah for that. Thank God for that. We don't deserve that, do we? And yet, He does do that. So let's turn over to 1 John chapter 3. And verse 21. He says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us." And so here it is again, right? We've confessed our sins. Okay. We now have confidence. We don't have a guilty conscience. We've been cleansed, right? So there we are before Him. And brethren, with a cleansed conscience and no condemnation because of the blood of Jesus Christ and because of our confession before Him, we now can go to God with whatever we request, right? Now later on, He's going to add this stipulation, according to His will. Okay, but right here, He just says, you have all boldness to come before God, verse 22, and whatever you ask, you receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So there's our confidence. See verse 21 again. If our heart does not condemn us, we have what? Confidence before God. All right, what does He mean by that? He's talking about praying. Verse 22, whatever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. That's our confidence. And thank God for that. Now let me ask you, what commandments is He talking about? Okay, how many commandments do they say is in the Old Testament alone? 600 and somewhere up there, right? 613, 633, somewhere up there. All right? You got all those listed, right? Okay. How many commandments in the New Testament? Okay, right. Rachel's pretty close because look at verse 23. This is His, what does it say? Okay, so because we keep His commandments, plural. All right, verse 23. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the first one. And what's the second one? Love one another. So the commandment, this is His commandment, is really made up of Two, believe on His name. That is, who He is, His person, His work, His ministry. Okay? And the expression of that faith, love one to another. And that is what He commanded us, didn't He? By this all men shall know that you are My disciples and that you what? You love one another. And so, now look at verse 24. The one who keeps His commandments, plural, abides in Him and He in him. And we know that He abides in us by the Spirit which He gives us. And we won't take time for this, but in verse 24, the Spirit that He gives us is the Holy Spirit, right? And that Spirit is the Spirit of love. So right there, you go right back to those two portions of His commandment. That's what we are to be walking in. And if you're walking in that, then you can have all confidence when you go before the Lord that you are striving, attempting, you're doing His will, then He will hear your what? He will hear your prayers. All right, what if you're ugly? What if you're mean-spirited? What if you're causing strife, contention? What if you're walking in pride? Okay, but you've been reading through your Bible all year. What do you think? You're not walking, right? You're not walking. All right, so here we have this commandment. What a blessing that is that the answer to our prayers is based on keeping His commandments and having well-pleasing deeds, which is believing in the name of the Lord Jesus and walking in love one toward another. All right, let's go over to chapter 5. And verse 14. And again, you'll note the word confidence. This is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked of Him. Brethren, isn't it a blessing that in just a few moments, we're going to lift up our request before the Lord? And you can lift up that request with all confidence that He's hearing, that He will answer when we ask according to His what? His will. Meaning we are praying biblically informed prayers about the situation. Any other gods, all the false gods of the earth, they don't have assurance about that. But we have assurance about that. What a blessing that is. And of course, when you ask something according to His will, does God hear you? Answer? Yes. No doubts about that? Any doubts? If you pray according to His will, does He hear you? He does. He hears you. Now, if you're like me, you struggle with that sometimes, right? And so, He hears you in verse 15. If you know that He hears you in whatever you ask, well, brethren, if He hears you, then you have the request that you requested of Him. Isn't that a blessing? If God hears you, it's answered. What a blessing that is. And that is a great confidence. Look in verse 16 and 17 of the same chapter. And this is our last one. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he shall... Can you see the word ask there? Okay, I got a little line in my Bible back up to verse 14. This is the confidence we have before Him that if we asked. Okay, folks, with that kind of assurance that if we ask anything according to God's will, does He hear us? If He hears us, we have the petition we requested. Now he turns and says, let me exhort you to pray for erring brethren. And so he says, have you seen a brother committing a sin not leading to death? Well, gossip about it. Is that what your text says? It tells you to what? Brethren, what does it tell you to do? Ask. Ask. He shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make a request for this. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. So here's an exhortation to pray for sinning brethren. Isn't that an encouragement? And so let's go to our Lord tonight and ask for His blessing, knowing that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Do we have that kind of confidence? Then let's go to Him.